Hey, profiteers. Today I'm going to talk with you about doing the thing that scares you most. I do have a couple few things that scare me. Number one, in no particular order, but number one is eating alone, if you can believe that. Number two is doing my taxes. I think there's a lot of people who don't like to do their taxes. Number three used to be vending events, and I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. Now, of course, logically, our brain knows that the only way to overcome what scares you is to actually just do the thing. I'm happy to report that last week, I finally ate alone for the first time in what feels like a very long time. Like, I can't remember the last time I ate alone. I'm not even sure, but I kind of eased into it. I didn't go all in at first. I went to a coffee shop and I ordered a gluten-free pastry and some hot tea, Earl Grey. And I just beelined it right to the corner and I took out my laptop and I did some work. Honestly, it really kind of felt more like I was trying to sneak away and become invisible rather than like fully digging into the task and facing my fear. But there will be next steps. And the next step will be to go to a restaurant where they hand you an actual menu and you order actual food. Yikes. So yeah, that's the next step. So I'll do that a few times until I either run out of money and can't afford it. No. Or until I'm not afraid of it anymore. And so far as the taxes go, yeah, those are still gross. But I am setting aside an hour a week now to do tasks, like financial tasks relating to taxes in really small amounts. So I don't get that every single year dreaded, overwhelming fear that I get this fear because I always put off even just starting my taxes until the last humanly possible moment. And so like by that time, the amount of work that I have to tackle is like Mount Everest. And like just thinking of that is like paralyzing. So I've done this 2 weeks now where I have started small and just biting off an hour a week, but I'm going. Now, I know maybe listening to these things could shock you if you don't know me, and they're not the most enjoyable to admit, but I think it's maybe some kind of mental shift that I get when it comes to eating by myself with lots of human beings staring at me, or at least that's what I tell myself, and then doing taxes. Like, I just want to avoid them for sure, but as I've been working on myself to raise the ceiling of my own courage and just like really press into the things that I find uncomfortable so that I can raise the bar, raise the lid of my discomfort level and continuously just trying to push as high as I can, higher and higher so that it gets really tall. So eventually I just become unafraid of doing many things like my taxes. Hopefully, right? Fingers crossed. The only way to grow is just to push through the things that make us uncomfortable and make us want to put on the brakes and pull the covers up over our head. So I'm happy to report that after eating alone and starting on my taxes, even in that small way, I didn't die because I'm still here talking to you. And I went through these five steps to make it through to the other side. Now that I've written them out and I know what they are, I'm going to share them with you. And hopefully this is going to help you in your dog treat business or help you if you haven't even started one yet and just help you through doing the thing that scares you most when you think about it. Okay. So what is it? What's your thing? I want you to take out a sheet of paper and write it down. Write down the thing that you've been wanting to do or to not do in the future that gives you anxiety and just makes you want to run in the opposite direction. We can make up 100 reasons why we shouldn't do that thing, or why now is not the time, or maybe you're not qualified, or we could tell ourselves that in just 5 years, it'll make sense, or when the kids get older and get into school, maybe that's the time, or maybe this or that thing happens, then you can do it, or when you just have more financial stability, or more resources or more time or just whatever is making you run away from the thing that you really want to do, but something is preventing you from taking action. So write it down on a piece of paper, because what I want you to do is just envision as I go through these five steps that I went through, if you were to do that, what could it look like for you? because maybe getting to the other side of the thing for you is actually a lot closer than you think. You ready? Let's go. Hey, profiteers, welcome to Positive Profit. Do you want to start a dog treat business with healthy recipes and make money selling them online and in shops? Do you find yourself up late at night wondering how to keep your soft treats fresh and sell them on social media? Do you wake up with big, ambitious goals only to feel confused and disappointed when your soft treats mold and you still don't know how to promote on social media again? Hey, I'm Kara. I too wanted to be a dog treat business owner. I also felt discouraged trying to keep my soft treats fresh, and I wished I had more online sales instead of only selling them at markets. I wanted to be home to bake more treats and make money selling them online. But I kept telling myself that I didn't know enough healthy dog treat recipes, have the Instagram know-how, or understand how to properly store my soft dog treats so they'd last longer. Until I learned how to make and sell healthy treats that dogs love and customers want to buy. In this podcast, you'll find natural dog treat recipes, kitchen tips, and all the secrets to selling dog treats online so that you'll make money and have time to bake more treats. Give your dog a treat, grab one for yourself, and let's dig in. This is such a great idea for a show. I love how unique this idea is and how it's inspired me to start dabbling in homemade treats for my dog. Who knows, maybe I'll turn it into a business. You're so full of knowledge, and I love how you are blessing all of us by sharing it. And that is a review by MSB1805. Thank you so much. I appreciate your words. They mean a lot to me, and they really help keep me motivated to continue to do what I'm doing. So I appreciate that. And I'm glad you're getting something out of this. And I hope you start your dog treat business. If you have a testimony like MSB, or you even just have a question for me that you want to air on the show, go to positiveprofit.com, click on the podcast tab, and scroll down to leave me a recording. I'd love to feature you. Lastly, real quick, did you know that I have a free community of bakers that's over 5,000 strong? It's a place where dog treat inspiration is shared freely with recipes, decorating tips, business ideas, encouragement, motivation, and a ton more. Come join us over at facebook.com/groups/startadogtreatbiz. Okay, let's dig in. So when I made the choice to vend my first ever event after launching a dog treat business, I actually had to tackle the pivotal first step and just decide to do it because like everything inside of me was making excuses to say no to actually to do it. There were so many treats to make. Setting up a tent, like putting together all the pieces just sounded like horribly daunting. Everything was just screaming at me to say, maybe just don't do it. And think of some of the excuses I shared with you. It wasn't that I didn't have the time to do it. I was working from home, but there was just something about knowing all of the steps to packaging my cookies. How was I going to decorate them? I also should mention this was in February and it was around Valentine's Day. And the event was called Love You to the Core because it was held at Apple Cider Place that did hard cider. So it was so cute and Valentine themed, but it was going to be my first one. And I was so terrified. Something about just knowing all the things I was supposed to do, especially with my display and my treats and just like going through the motions scared me so much. We also lived 30 minutes from town. So it's not like I could just like pop back home real quick if I forgot something. My husband, because I had talked to him so much about it, knew that I really struggled with this, but I really wanted to launch my dog treat business. And after a cold winter, I was ready for Valentine's Day. I was ready for all the pinks and the reds and the, you know, just all the fun decorating part. I had anxiety about how I was going to decorate, but I really wanted to get this thing going. So after discussing the idea of it with him, he finally said, well, maybe you should just do it. Like, how easy is that? So I could tell in my heart that this was an important stepping stone for me, obviously. It's my business. I'm going to have to vend sooner or later. But before I could allow myself to really continue to overthink it, I just filled out the vendor application on Google Forms and I pressed submit and they accepted me. And then it was on. Right now I had this commitment. So step one is just say yes. There's always a reason not to do it. Trust me, there's always a reason why the timing isn't right. If we just say yes, then we can make a commitment to face our fear. Maybe for you, it is decorating your dog treats. Maybe it's working with a pastry bag and a pastry tip. And what frosting am I going to use? And what's the correct ratio of frosting to water? How do I add a color? Okay, great. Now I got the frosting in the bag. Now what? Those are all things that can, things that make you go, No, but things that can make you go, you know, I get it. I've been there. But that really kind of brings us to step number two, and that is prep and practice. I think that when we get nervous, we get fearful because we're venturing into unknown territory, uncharted waters, so to speak. So what I did is I opened up my brand new tent, still in the package, okay, right there in my driveway. And I set up my tables and my tablecloths, and I practiced setting up my display. I also changed around the configuration like half a dozen times, and I took pictures so I could remember how I did it so that when it came time to vend, I could like look at my picture and be like, okay, you got this, girl. As I prepped and practiced, I think I did it like three times where I fully set up, fully packed everything away in my SUV, because loading your vehicle is also something you should practice. It's like Jenga. So I think I did it like three times, and I just became more comfortable with what it was that I was about to do. As you're facing this thing that you're about to do, okay, how can you prepare and maybe even practice? And that's where, if your thing is decorating dog treats, just go for it. Open the expensive box of icing you got, mix it and fill a pastry bag and just get ready and go do it. If it's maybe getting your GA or guaranteed analysis, obviously do your research, make your treats and send them in. Just do it, you guys. I know that maybe your fear isn't maybe not setting up your tent and your display. As we talked about, maybe your fear is working with dog safe icing for the first time and pastry bags and decorating your first Valentine's Day themed dog treats. So don't wait until Valentine's to practice. You can roll out your dough, cut out your cookies and bake them and dehydrate your treats ahead of time. And then just find a quiet couple of hours like the next day to get out your pastry bag and your tips. Mix up your colors, fill the bags and your icings and begin decorating the treats. If this is your thing, you'll want several treats on hand to use like as a canvas to test out different designs, different color combos, to see the ones that hit and that resonate with you, just to show yourself that you are capable of doing the thing that you're afraid of. Make notes along the way so you can be sure to replicate the winning designs that you come up with when it's time to make them for real. And don't forget to take pictures. Y'all, take pictures, pictures, pictures while you're decorating of the finished tree. Take them for your social media, because you may not use them this minute, or you may, but it's still a good idea to start building a photo library of your work, because number one, Valentine's Day is going to come again next year and you're going to want to remember, hey, what did I make? What worked? What didn't work? And you'll be able to look back and see, you know, what you did. You never know when you're going to need to use them, even next year on your social media. Plus, it's like amazing to look back at your work a year from now and just see what you were doing and how far you've come. You'll be surprised in a year how far your decorating skills will come. Prepping and practicing really showed me that if I can do this by myself in my driveway, I can do this for real. To be honest, it wasn't just by myself. Even though my husband didn't plan out any of the design aspects of setting up my tent, he was great to have around as muscle to help me get it done, because it's tough doing it by yourself for real. But it showed me that if I can do it, I could do it for real when the day comes. And it's just going to be the exact same thing, just maybe on a bigger scale, because you have all the other factors in play on the big day. Step three, don't overthink this. As I sat there for almost 2 weeks over analyzing things, it made me have moments of anxiety as I was getting ready to, hey, do I fill out this application? Do I wait a couple months? All that time waiting, I was like building up this anxiety. What if I forget my change box? What if I get no sales? What if the dogs don't like my treats? What if I do this all for nothing? But then I would get really busy and I wouldn't even think about it. So I just made a decision about halfway through, like, I'm just done thinking about it. I'm just done. And I'm doing it. I'm just going to do this thing and it's going to be great. Right? You got to give yourself that pep talk. I've prepped and I've practiced and that's enough. And it's going to be what it's going to be. So I had to make a decision just to not think about it anymore. And when I would find myself thinking about it, I would just do something else. Because the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, right? It's not actually doing the thing because we have no idea how the thing's going to go. It's just the perception of messing up or the perception of the failure or the perception of whatever it is we're holding on to that's causing this anxiety. So we don't even want our minds to go there. We just need to get to the end result faster because then we can get it done. Until we get it done, we don't even have a baseline to base our fear on because, or even to eradicate our fear, because you might get to the end and be like, wow, that wasn't so hard at all. How many times has that happened where you've worried yourself to death about something? And then the something comes and you're like, wow, I spent all that time worrying and it wasn't even a big deal. Step four, just do the thing. So the day came for me to vend and set up as early. But of course, I got there even earlier. I was the first one there, even before the person organizing the event. I was like the first one there, of course. But I wanted to make sure I could find the address, get a good parking spot, find my vendor space and know where I'd be setting up my tent. It almost makes sense to backtrack a little and then retrace your steps in your mind of when you practiced because it's going to help you. It's going to help your mind go, oh, I know how to do this. So this is how to unfold my tent and this is how to extend the legs and secure the top. This is where the tables go. And the tablecloths go on the table before we start setting boxes on top of the table. If you've vended, you know what I mean. And this is how I'm going to set up my products and my display. This is how I'm going to use Square and Venmo to take the sales because I've done practice runs before. And it really helped so much to do these things in my practice run in my driveway 3 times. To get an understanding of how things should go. So just do it. Whatever your thing is, just do it. Step 5 is analyze it. After we made all the beautiful Valentine's Day treats, we went down, set up, vended, and got home. We were so beat. We had finished vending for the day. We had unloaded everything from the SUV. We drove back up to our house and in the forest. And so we were so beat. We couldn't analyze it that day. But the next day, on Sunday, my husband and I talked a lot about everything because it was our first event. So there was a big discussion about it. And we talked about the things that worked well and the things that we needed to do differently. So analyzing it helped. And this conversation that we had of like taking it apart and like dissecting the pieces super, super helped because we were able to be more prepared and efficient the next time. And as we found out, as vending season continued, that we were continually learning how to prepare even better. So our tent looked more inviting and setup and teardown became more efficient. I think that after probably 4 events, I was like, give me another one. I got this. The point of me walking you through these steps are that now I have set a baseline for my fear of setting up an event. And I feel so much more comfortable. And I know that when I go to an event, I won't be caught like a deer in the headlights. I know how to get through something like this because I know these steps work. So I feel prepared and I feel confident. I learned some things that'll help me navigate when this comes up again and it'll be even better. If I had said no to this whole thing and didn't do it, I would have expanded my inner bandwidth to become a successful dog treat business owner and be okay with these kinds of opportunities and experiences. We just need to first say yes and know that we're going to prep and practice so it makes us feel confident. Number three, we need to not overthink it. Accept, hey, this is happening. We're just going to do the best we can this first time around. And that's it. Keep yourself busy and keep your mind off of the thing that's going to happen, other than when you're practicing and prepping. Number four, just do it. Rip off the Band-Aid, show up, and just do it. Get it done. Launch it. Create it. Decorate it. Send the treat in. Do your logo. Whatever the thing is, get in and get it done. Number five, analyze it and ask yourself, what can you improve next time? Not in a negative way, in a positive way. How can I make this even 1% better or thorough next time? Number six, this is a bonus, do it again. I hope this episode helped you, friend. I hope this episode helped you. If you're staring in the face of something that's scary for you in your dog treat business, no, you are not alone. This is part of being a business owner. It's actually part of being a human. We're all going to face scary things on our journeys. I love you guys. Keep showing up. I want to see you back here again really soon. And if you haven't subscribed, subscribe to the channel, hit that notification bell, and you'll be able to get more content like this. I hope this helps you. Until next time, don't forget to treat yourself well. Hey, Baker, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with a friend who may want to bake dog treats and make money selling them online and in stores? Also, please leave a quick review for the show on Apple Podcasts. It makes me so delighted to know this podcast is helping you. Okay, time to go make another batch of doggy donuts for the sales I got on Instagram. No more markets every single weekend. I'll meet you back here every Tuesday and Thursday for more tasty dog treat content. Until then, don't forget to treat yourself well.